Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Jude, beginning with verse 5. Jude 1, verse 5. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now, I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. I'm sure you've heard the saying, what we don't remember, we're doomed to repeat. I have a slight version of that out on the marquee. Either learn from your mistakes or be doomed to repeat them. And I take it from this verse 5. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all these things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. Some of the things that our society wants us to remember, which is fine, is you've heard the phrase, remember the Alamo. Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, we just recently remembered that from 1941, a day that will go down in infamy. Veterans Day or Armistice Day, November 11th, at the end of World War I in 1918, another time that our country wants us to remember. Failure to learn from history makes us doomed to repeat it. Well, how much more important is that in our spiritual walk? And so as Jude writes, and we noticed last week that he is the brother of James, as he mentions in verse 1, but we believe that that's also the brother of Jesus. But as Jude writes, he says, I want to remind you of some things. Without these reminders, I'm afraid you'll drift away from that which is true. And so from the very first, as we look at these examples, and I stopped intentionally at verse 10, we'll have more examples, Lord willing, next week. But from the very beginning of these examples, he says, it's not once saved, always saved. You walk willfully out of the way of the Lord. You fail to remember what it is that God would have you to do. You're going to pay the price. And the examples that he gives just in today's readings are very profound. But notice that he says that he's reminding us of that, which you know all things once for all. Now, we've heard that phrase before, once for all. It was in verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Now, it's one thing if you do things in ignorance because you didn't know any better. It's quite another if you know better and you still walk willfully in sin. That phrase "once for all" now has been used twice in fairly close verses, and what it simply means is God has delivered the truth to us. And if we fail, it's our own fault. Once for all, handed down to the saints. You know all things once for all, he says in verse 5. Now, we may not avail ourselves of that knowledge. We may not be studying like we should, or we may be a new convert, and this is all new to us. But certainly the audience to whom Jude is writing, which we're not sure just who that is, the audience knows God, and they know their Old Testament, because he is using Old Testament references here without a whole lot of explanation. In fact, there's some things that we've read this morning, specifically about the angels, that might furrow one's brow when you look at them. But what he says initially is that though God had saved his people out of Egypt, because they turned away from following God, they subsequently were destroyed. Verse 5, "Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe." We can remember that it wasn't that long after they had crossed into the wilderness and were at the foot of Mount Sinai that God called Moses to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the law. And he was absent the camp for 40 days. What can go wrong in 40 days? Well, the people got impatient and they reverted back to the ways of the culture from which they had been rescued. And they asked Moses to make them an idol. And they brought their jewelry. They asked Aaron. They brought their jewelry to Aaron. And he melted down their jewelry and fashioned a golden calf, so that when Moses came off the mountain, what he saw upset him greatly. This is from Exodus chapter 32 and verse 8. In God's voice, he's speaking to Moses, "They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" Oh, big mistake. They reverted to their sinful ways and insulted God in the process. And so as Moses comes down, he is so upset with what's taken place that he shatters the stone tablets upon which the law was written. And he calls for those who would be true to God to come to him. And the sons of Levi do that. And then they take their swords and turn every man on his brother, on his friend, on his neighbor. And 3,000 are slain. It's the consecrating of the priesthood by blood. It says in Deuteronomy 9 and verse 20 that Moses interceded even for Aaron. "The Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him, so I also prayed for Aaron at the same time." That's in the Song of Moses. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last speech to the people before he is no longer their leader and is carried away, which is also referenced in this with regards to the arguing over the body of Moses. Freshly rescued, a 40-day interim, and quickly untrue to their God. But Jude is not finished with talking about the people there. He also says that they grumbled and complained. It's just a sad state of affairs whenever the people of God refuse to follow him and desire instead to go after strange things. When they grumbled and complained, it says that God sent serpents among them. The Lord sent fiery serpents. This is from Numbers chapter 21 and verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of Israel died. Idolatry, grumbling. It's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? These are to be God's people, the ones that He raises up to be a light to the world. And yet it takes a while. Even at that time, their serpents weren't necessarily taken away from them, but in order for some of them to be healed, it says in verse 9 of Numbers 21 that Moses put a bronze serpent upon a pole, which just happens to be the symbol for medicine, even today. Isn't that amazing? So God's people didn't keep in mind what God wanted them to do. Jude is saying, I want to remind you about that incident. Well, here's another one he says I want to remind you about. About angels aren't exempt from being disobedient. And when they disobey, God punishes them as well. Verse 6, and angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Now, this is a little bit of a mystery as far as what is he actually referring to with regards to the angels not keeping their proper domain. We have a little bit of a hint in 1 John 3 and verse 8, just talking about Satan. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. We find him in the garden, don't we? And we find that he has a following in heaven. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, and remember, we're trying to decipher this, and angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Revelation 12, beginning with verse 7, and there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels raging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, that happened before creation, or at least before the time that Satan is tempting Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. But notice there was this free will that Satan had, along with his angels, to disobey God. Jude's point is that because of their disobedience, they suffered castigation from heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, and his angels were thrown down with him. Peter records in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness reserved for judgment. If angels aren't exempt, then humans certainly aren't. Jude says of the children of Israel, they were delivered only to go back into sin, idolatry, and grumbling and complaining, and they paid the price for it with the fiery serpents. Angels rebelled against God, and you think, of all entities, surely angels would know what a blessing it is to be in God's presence. And yet they rebelled, the devil and his angels, and they were punished with eternal fire. Then John goes on to the next example, which is very familiar to us that know anything about the Old Testament, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. What do you remember about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, it has to do with cities during Abraham and Lot's time. Lot and his family moved into those cities. And if you recall, God sent word through Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pleaded with God that if there could be found some righteous people there, a certain number, and he brought it down from 50 and clear on down, well, there wasn't enough righteous there, was there? And so the two angels go in to Sodom where Lot lives. And Lot immediately sees these strangers and brings them to his home. It's not good to leave them outside, not in this town. And then that night they are accosted by the populace of the town. And they say, bring those men out who came into you that we may know them. Wasn't a good deal, was it? It turns out that the angels protect Lot and tell him to get out of town and don't look back. Then hellfire and brimstone rains down upon Sodom. This is from Genesis 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. They sought strange flesh. Is that an inkling to the fact that the men of Sodom perhaps didn't know that they were seeking to abuse angels? Verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Verse 7 of Jude. They had come to Lot in verse 5 of Genesis 19, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. The strange flesh doesn't have to necessarily mean an allusion to the fact that they were angelic beings. It could simply mean that they were abusing the flesh by engaging in homosexual acts. What is it Jude is trying to get across to his readers? I want to remind you, he says, that even though you know all things, once for all, there is a warning here that you apply. It's not enough simply to know. It must be lived. So the example of the children of Israel and their idolatry and grumbling, of the devil and his angels being cast down, of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he's not quite through yet. This is somewhat because we've already gone into these passages and explaining the angels. He says, verse 9, but Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. We know that Satan has been cast down with his angels. And there appears to be some sort of incident that takes place, referenced here, where the devil wanted the body of Moses. You recall that Moses' grave is not known to us today, that he simply kind of walked off into the sunset. And when Michael challenged the devil on trying to get a hold of Moses' body, why the devil thought he had a right to it, it's beyond me. It says that Michael understood his place, that it is the Lord who rebukes. And even though Michael is an archangel, a lead angel, he did not assume the role of one who condemned. Instead, he says, the Lord rebuke you. Men failing to obey God suffer greatly, and ultimately, eternal judgment. He describes them now, we're going to back up a verse to verse 8, these ungodly men. And by the way, the word ungodly is at least a half a dozen times in the book of Jude. Because I think he's referencing back to these ungodly men who have failed to contend earnestly for the faith. In verse 4, he says, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Now skip to verse 8. "Yet in the same way, these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties." We know that quite often angels delivered the word of God. And these ungodly persons not only reject what God has said, but they revile angelic majesties as well. They refuse to accept the miraculous proof that God has given them that this word is divine. In fact, what are they doing? They're reviling that which they do not understand. They act on instinct. They're unreasoning animals. And they will ultimately be destroyed. I think of one of the most gross examples of an unreasoning animal is a rabid dog that has to be destroyed. Look what we become when we fail to contend for the faith, when we fail to honor what God would have us to do, when we walk in Satan and his angels' ways. Look again then at verse 4. "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." When man fails to honor God, he becomes the dregs at the bottom of the barrel. A creature Jude has described of instinct, an unreasoning animal, one whose only outcome is to be destroyed. "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment," what's Peter implying? If angels aren't exempt, neither will you be or I be if we fail to walk as God would have us to walk. What we don't remember, we're doomed to repeat. Either learn from your mistakes or be doomed to repeat them. Turn with me to hymn number 404. 404. "The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus only, let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hands. Yet he chose the road to Calvary. said, why he loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all these things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. May we walk with God from the time that we have obeyed the truth till our last breath. Thank you, Jude, through the Holy Spirit, for this reminder.